Hi, I'm Will Robinson and welcome to the official Crystal Palace podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Stirs, the world's first zero-waste coffee. Stirs are a proud local partner and hot drink supplier to the Eagles, supporting a more sustainable South London. Whether you're at the match or watching from home, try their great-tasting coffee and hot chocolate by visiting shop.cpfc.co.uk. And the best part? A portion of the proceeds goes straight to the Palace for Life Foundation. Supper cuppa to help young South Londoners. Perfect. Now sit back and enjoy the official Crystal Palace podcast. Well, welcome to the official Crystal Palace podcast. I'm sat here in the first team gym with two players who are now more than familiar with their first team surroundings. Two of the breakout academy stars this season, Tayo Adeyemola, Jez Rakusaki. How are you doing? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. You?
Yeah, I'm all good. Yeah, not bad, thank you. I mean, this is a nice time to record. We're talking just before the trip to Goodison Park tomorrow. And I think it's just over a year ago, Jez, that you were in the first team squad for the first time on a trip to Goodison Park. And what a year it's been since then. We've got the under-18s player of the season, Tayo. Jez, under-23s player of the season, just been nominated for the divisions player of the season as well. I mean, has this year just been a bit of a blur for both of you? You're both smiling.
Yeah, nah, I think the season's been great. Obviously, we've had a lot of ups and downs, so for it to come out like this, you know, we can only be happy.
Jez?
Yeah, it's been crazy. Like, at the start of the season, I wouldn't have expected to be here, like, to like do so well. And I'm just very thankful to God and everyone that's helped me along the way. And, you know, it's just the beginning. I want to push for more.
Well, we'll get to your, obviously, make first team debuts. We'll get to what's going to happen for the rest of the season. But I thought I'd start with just your journey to this point so far. I mean, Tayo, starting with you. I mean, you moved over from Dublin, am I right, to come to London and play football. What was that move like? And that's quite a big decision to make it. What were you, 12 years old?
Yeah, you know, it was a tough decision at the time, but obviously my parents thought it would be best for, you know, my siblings and I. So, yeah, at the start it was, you know, a lot of tears were shedded. So, but look at the end of it. We can only be happy, thank God.
I mean, you sound like a South Londoner now. Where's the Dublin accent gone?
Nah, I was vexed as soon as my accent went. I was so angry because I thought that was the one thing that I can hold from Ireland. So when it left, I feel like a part of me left, but, you know, I'm so proud to be
South Can you still London. Remember it?
Yeah, it comes out a bit when I'm with the boys on international, but other than that, it doesn't really come out.
Jez, are there any words that he says that you can hear the little Irish in?
Nah, not really. I think he's fully transformed into South London
boy. He's a pure South Londoner. I mean, when you moved over here, what was the first club that you trialled with? And how long was it before you settled down at Palace? Because there were a few clubs before.
Obviously, I went through the grassroots first, played there for a year or two, and then I got picked up by Charlton, by a scout named Brian. And then, obviously, that didn't work out. Then he brought me to West Ham. West Ham didn't work out either, so then got a chat at Palace and, you know, all worked out.
So, I guess, being taken in by these clubs and then maybe perhaps not making it, how do you deal with that level of kind of rejection, and then how does that drive you on when you're still only, what, 14, 15 years old?
You know, at the time I just knew that rejection is always going to be part of the plan, that it's not going to be, you know, an easy journey, so with the rejection, I just used it as like a way for me to, you know, somebody doesn't accept me, but I know the next person will just work hard and hopefully my chance will come.
And that came at Palace, obviously. Did you feel straight away at home at the club? What was those first kind of couple of months like?
Nah, I wouldn't say it. As soon as I came on trial, after the first session, I went back into class, started crying. I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to get into this club. Because at the time, obviously, I knew of Palace and I knew how good my age group was, and, you know, it was a really good age group when I was trialing, so first couple of months were rough for me to adapt to them, but, you know, I'm thankful.
Was there a moment where you suddenly thought, right, I know I can make it here now?
Yeah, I'll say probably my first game. Obviously, back then I was a number nine, so just quick, get the ball in my hand, score goals. First game, score two, so I think at that moment I thought, oh, maybe I have a chance here.
But we'll come back to you being a number nine as well, because I want to hear about your finishing. But someone else who knows how to finish, Jez, what about you coming to Palace? Because I think you were at Chelsea before, weren't you?
Yeah, I was at Chelsea from the age of 8 to 16 and I wasn't able to get a scholarship there. And then, yeah, went on trials for a couple of clubs and then found my way here at Palace.
I guess that's a tough thing if you've been at one place from 8 years old up to 16. It must be tough to then try and start somewhere new.
Yeah, it was really tough because, you know, as a kid, all you know is Chelsea, and that to be let go and try to find something new is really tough. But I'm just thankful for my family, my agent, my friends just helping me and pushing me to get here.
And I guess, same question as well, was there a moment that you thought, I found the right club, I know that I can make it here, I can play well?
Yeah, I think Palace, you know, really took me in. Like, they really had a plan for me, and that was really good for me and my family to hear that they'll look after me and help me grow and develop. So yeah, I think it was the right club for me to be at.
Do you remember your first impressions of each other? Do you remember when you first met?
Yeah, I met him at a training session in the park, and I was thinking, this guy is like not his age. He's too big, too strong to be 15. So yeah, that's the first time I saw Taylor.
You see him whiz past you?
Yeah.
What about you, Ty? Do you remember meeting Jez?
Yeah, no, we went to the same session. So that time when I saw him, obviously I trained with him one time before that, but you know, Jez was very quiet. But I just knew that this guy was mad technical, like every time the ball was glued to his foot and that. So I knew he was a good player. So
were you almost competing at that time? You was a number 9. Jez is a forward, if still out wide.
Nah, not that deep. That was like around on the 15s. So I was a left back back then. So yeah, now we weren't competing, but we're going up against each other there and then in training.
What was he like to play against in training now?
Yeah, the coaches love it. They love the battle between us two. They put us against each other every session in the 23s because they know that we can test each other and we can get the best out of each other as well. So, you know, when I'm up against Jez, I know I need to be on my A game, make sure I don't let anything slip, and hope that's vice versa.
Is it vice versa, Jez? You're smiling.
No, 100%. I'll say when I'm against Taylor, you know, I've got to be switched on because, you know, he's like really aggressive on the front foot. So I know that if I take too many touches, maybe he'll come behind me, intercept it. So I might have to change my game, play off one or two touches. So yeah, I just got to be switched on.
Well, you said the coaches love it. Let's talk about your coaches, because you've had a few that have taken you through your development. I mean, which names stand out for you in terms of people that have helped you get to where you are now?
Obviously, the main ones, most recent ones, Paddy and Powell. Obviously, I've been with Powell for a long time, since he picked me up when I was like under 14s. So he's probably the one that has seen me develop the most. And obviously, Paddy pushed me up when I was under 16 to playing under 18. So he saw, like, I think he's the first person that really let me know that I have potential and how I can fulfill it. So yeah, grateful for both of them.
Same for you, Jess.
Yeah, that first proper coach was Paddy and Darren Powell. Like, at the start, it was quite tough, you know, because I was still in my growing process. But they just let me know that if I continue to do well, like, doing my gym work off the pitch, that I'll get my chance, and yeah, just kept working hard and I got my chance at the end.
Because Paddy is obviously the manager, isn't he? But everyone talks about them as a two. They're very much a duo, aren't they? Like, how important is Darren Powell as well in that partnership?
I think it's very important. You know, I'll say Paddy's more like the aggressive one and like the more like hardcore, but he does have a soft side. But I think Darren Powell's more like the joker of the coaches, but still he has that serious side when he needs to be serious. So I think both of them just complement each other well, so it's good.
What's Paddy's temper like when it is not going so well?
Yeah, when things are not going well, we know we're getting a bollocking in the changing room, but you know, we're getting used to it now, so we know how to like avoid it from happening just by performing. So yeah.
What about teammates? Because it seems like this academy group is such a tight-knit group. The team that won the Floodlit Cup, and then the team that came so close to winning the under-18s league last season. Is there a real team spirit around this current group?
Yeah, I think the team spirit's strong, you know. Like, we're not just friends on the pitch, we're also friends off the pitch, so I think that's really important that we've got a lot of team bonding there. So, yeah, I'll say we're really tight and really close, so which is good.
What are the kind of things you're getting up to off the pitch together?
All sorts of things. Go arcade, you know, we love to have TGIs once in a while to treat ourselves after a match day.
What's the treat meal? What are you ordering?
Sesame strips with wings and just chips.
I feel like you got it nailed down.
Yeah.
And what about, I've heard rumours of a holiday as well this summer.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, this is going to be our first, like, boys' holiday. So, Yeah, we're going to Ayia Napa in Cyprus for a couple of days. Obviously, we still got to be thinking about football while we're there, but just, you know, to get away from our chaotic world already, so, yeah.
Jez, you buzzing?
Yeah, I'm really excited, you know, deserved break with my boys, and, yeah, can't be switched off too much because, you know, big season ahead, so we just got to be looking forward to that as well.
Well, let's come to the big season because this has obviously been a huge season as well. Training with the first team for basically the vast majority of the campaign. I mean, when we first called up to train with the first team, Jez, it would have been sometime last season for you, wouldn't it? And you, Tyre, as well, or were you first time this season?
I had a little trainer session when I was on the 16s, but wasn't too much. But that was the first time I saw them in the flesh. But yeah, I trained a little bit last season, but obviously this season I was much more involved.
I mean, how did that first session go? Do you remember? Thinking you made a good account of yourself? Were you nervous?
Nah, I think I was very nervous because of I'm the type that, like, it takes me time to get into a certain environment, so it takes me time to adapt. So yeah, I didn't. It took me a while to adapt. So I was very nervous the first couple of sessions.
Was Jez a help to have there if he was there when you first started training regularly with the first team?
Oh yeah. I think I was very lucky to have him.
He wasn't just rinsing you every time.
Nah. If it, like, for both of us, if we know that we've done something like not up to our standards, we let each other know in the session, like tap him or just say my name or something. So yeah, you know, it's good to have, you know, a mate training with you, the first team.
What about you, Jez? Is it nice to have Tyre there because you're both kind of pushing for the same thing?
Yeah, you know, we've been like coming up the ranks together from like under 18s and 23s, so like being with each other in the first team, just like the final step. So it'll be great to see both of us do well. So, you know, we push each other every day in training and we just want the best for each other.
Did you get any advice from the academy coaches when they knew you were first coming across the road? What did they say to you about how you should conduct yourself, how you should impose yourself?
Paddy spoke to me probably the most. He just lets me know that I'm there to take what I want. I want a shirt here, so every time I come, I shouldn't, you know, play underneath myself and not play to my ability. Make sure that if there's a tackle, I need to win. Even if it's training, make sure I win that tackle. Just get that mentality into me to know that it's not a joke. So, yeah, I think Paddy's helped me a lot with that.
And Jez, did Patrick say anything or did Roy say anything when you first came up to try and kind of help you settle in?
Roy was just telling me that, I'm here for a reason and that I shouldn't be like afraid to do what I've been doing in the academy to be over here, so like I should just be myself and that'll take me a long way.
And did that help, that kind of advice?
Yeah, I think that did, you know, just gave me a lot of self-belief that, you know, I am a good player and that I do deserve to be here. So I think just having that in my head will help me like push on throughout the rest of my career.
I asked Tyreek about this, about what his advice that he got told when he first came up to first team, and he said it wasn't necessarily on the board. He said no one can help you perform, but simple things. Always smile, don't look angry. During the running, don't look tired. That was his thing. Is that a similar thing for you? You've just got to make sure you're looking up for everything, that you're ready to go.
Yeah, I think as young G's, if you're not getting on the ball, if you're not showing your technical ability as much as you want to, I think the number one thing that you need to do is just work hard. Just make sure you're running more than them. If you're trying to win every tackle more than them, just focus on the off-the-ball stuff. So, yeah.
Who were the big personalities when you came up? You're in that dressing room now. Who are the people that dominate that dressing room? And don't say yourselves because it's too early.
For like the match day dressing rooms, I won't be able to say a name, but because like everyone's just really switched on and focused on the game, so it'll be hard to like choose one person.
Have there been players that have helped guide you? I know there's been talk of Gyro being helpful for you, Jez.
Yeah, there's been a lot. Jai was just one of them, but I'll say a lot of other senior players, Jordan, Wilf, Ebbs, T, just like majority of them just helping me and just advising me. Like if they want me to do well, that's just belief in myself and confidence that I need to take for the rest of the time I'm here.
Is that advice on the pitch or is it also off the pitch things as well? Because there's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both because, you know, football can affect you in both ways, like off the pitch, social media and stuff can really get into your head and that. But I think if you're concentrated and motivated on the pitch, you won't need to worry about stuff like that.
Have you been kind of surprised by how high the standard is? I mean, it must be a big jump to come and train with Premier League players?
Yeah, definitely. I say that standard is crazy. Like before the season started, like during the season, the intensity between the 23s and first team was really different. Like 23s, you got a lot of time on the ball to like do your own thing. But here, if you're not switched on, the ball get taken off you. So you just got to be switched on all the time, I say.
Who's the hardest man to beat in training?
Yeah, probably has to be Terry Mitchell. You know, he's very aggressive, very on the front foot. So, yeah, man, he's a great defender.
What about you, Jez? Who's the hardest to defend against? A few contenders, to be fair.
I'll probably say Michael Elise. Yeah, definitely.
You sound like a man who's been scarred.
I have been a couple of times, but I always enjoy the battle as well, so, yeah.
Who do you think is the biggest teacher's pet out of the two of you? This is a question I want to know.
Clear his tail.
Don't be dumb. It's definitely...
teacher's pet in terms of what? Like,
in terms of who? The gaffer?
Yeah,
I'll say you.
That has to be you, tail.
I don't feel like he shows both of us any sympathy, so I won't say we're both not in it, but the pros, yeah, there's a lot of teacher's pets.
Well, let's get on to Patrick, because, I mean, this will depress many people who are listening, because I've written down a question here. Did you enjoy watching Patrick as a child? And then I've written down, Jez, you were born in 2002. Tao, you were born in 2003, weren't you? So do you have a memory of watching him as a player?
Not really, but I've watched them. You know, the Sky Sports, the greatest. Yeah, I've watched his one a couple of times before.
Not bad.
Yeah, so now I know who he is well, and I know like that he's one of the best players in his position ever. So yeah, we're honoured to have a legend as our manager. So
does he ever show it in training?
Yeah, he tries to jump on the rondos there and there, but he's always losing it and then getting the young G's to do the running for him. So.
I mean, were you excited when he was appointed? It must have been just to have that kind of name at the club.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, we know what great player he was and the qualities that he has. So for him to be coming in and just showing that to all the players, just really a great relief and a great joy for him to join us.
When was the first kind of conversation you had with him? Did he set out a plan for you this season?
I just spoke to him for the first day he came in. And then just talking about working hard, just believing in yourself, and that if you work hard, the chances will come. So we just got to stay patient and just keep learning every day and training.
And the training's obviously intense, but is it also, football is supposed to be fun as well, isn't it? Are they enjoyable training sessions as well?
Yeah, I think the training session's very enjoyable. There's always people laughing and joking during the session. So yeah, I think people enjoy them.
We've asked about Paddy's temper, but Patrick, we saw from his playing days, can certainly let you know he's there.
Yeah, I think they're both similar with the tempers. That if they need to let the team know if they're not performing, they will in a manner that obviously we won't like, but we've got to respect it. So,
have you ever been on the end of a kind of hairdryer?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I would say probably the Stoke game, my first full start. He let me know in the change room that I need to take the handbrake off. So yeah. That's probably the first time ever he let me know about something.
And did it work? Was it good advice?
Yeah, he basically told me to play with freedom. And that's the one thing that a young player wants to hear from the gaffer. Just go out and do what you normally do.
What about you, Jez? Have you ever been on the receiving end of some frank advice?
No, I've been lucky not to be on the bad end. But I think maybe with Paddy, I've been on that with him, like just intensity with on and off the ball, just make sure I'm doing everything with intent and with 100% to get the best out of me and the team.
Because what's that balance been like? Because obviously you've been training with the first team but playing under 23s. Has that been a difficult balance to kind of manipulate both?
Yeah, it's been hard. As I said, the intensity is different with both age groups. So I think with 23s, like you got a lot of time to think what you're going to do, but with first team, like, you just got to know what you're going to do before you get the ball. So I think that's the biggest thing between the both ages.
What about you, Tyre? Is it hard to adapt when you've just done maybe a match at 23s to then come back and play first team?
Yeah, no, I think it is, but it also helps a lot, especially when you're training with the first team and then you go over and train with the 23s, you always feel like much sharper, much better. So nah, it helps in both ways. So yeah.
What about for the matches for the first team when you have been in the squad? I mean, what was it like to be a young player in the dressing room? Because obviously there are those big personalities, there are those regular starters, there are people like Wilf who've played 400 games for the club. What's it like to come into that dressing room?
Nah, it's crazy, you know, just seeing how they prepare for matches, seeing the team talks and all the tactics and information that they get before the game. So as young players, you know, it's good for us to like really take it in and know that one day that could be us that's doing that. So for us to be in and around it is just really good experience.
Well, let's talk debuts, because obviously that's been the biggest thing that's happened this season for you two. And Jez, yours came so early in the season. How much warning were you given that you were about to make your Premier League debut?
No, it was probably a minute that I got told to warm up, but I thought it was just another warm up that I've been doing for the whole rest of the game, and then I just heard a whistle, and I think it was me and Scott Banks just looking at each other, and then I got a shout from Scotty, one of the coaches here, and then yeah, just told me to get stripped, and I knew I was coming on.
What's that emotion like?
At the time, I didn't really take it in, but I think after, when I got off the pitch and in the changing room, and everyone just like saying congrats and things, like it was just really good, you know, to finally get on the pitch and just knowing that this is where I want to be. So I just got to push on, and hopefully I get more opportunities.
Do you think it maybe was even better that you didn't have too much warning, because you had no time to think about it? You can just come on the pitch and live in the moment.
Yeah, I think it was better like that, because you know I just got to be switched on when I'm ready, so I have nothing to think about. So just me being switched on, getting on the pitch, getting on the ball, so yeah, it was good.
Tyo, did you watch that and think you were proud of him? Were you excited?
Yeah, no, we were. The 23s, we had a game, so on our way back, all of our friends were on the live stream, so we were looking at it, they were like, Jez coming on, Jez. We all started screaming, Jez coming on. They only came on, you know, gave him a clap and whatnot, and then when he got back, he saw the messages that we all left for him. So yeah, no, it was exciting, and it was great for the academy, because it just shows that what's gonna happen if you continue to work hard.
What did you do that night, Jez? Did you celebrate?
I couldn't really celebrate my family because they were in Ghana, but they were sending me messages saying how proud they was of me. And yeah, I think I just went out with my friends, just celebrating the moment. So yeah, it was good.
I guess that's another thing that's amazing about the Premier League is that shows there are people watching in Ghana, there would have been people watching in America, there would have been in Australia. You for that moment were on kind of global TV around the world.
Yeah, you know, it was really good for me to get that exposure worldwide. So it just shows that if that's where I want to be, you know, I just got to keep my head down and yeah, hopefully I'll get there.
Was there ever an element of being a little bit starstruck isn't the right word, but you kind of come on the pitch, you're seeing these players that have been, you know, some of them will be Premier League legends when they retire.
Yeah, I think when I got on the pitch, I didn't really think about it like that as much, but I think after the game ended and I was shaking everyone's hand, like, I was just really taking it in that these are the players that like, I've been watching grow up, like when I was playing FIFA and stuff, like, I'm really on the same pitch as them. So yeah, I think after the game, I really took it all in.
What about you, Tyo? Has there been a moment when you've been a little bit starstruck, a little bit kind of, oh my God, I can't believe I'm sharing a pitch, or I'm meeting, or I'm at this ground, maybe?
Yeah, you know, a couple of times, like when I've been on the bench and whatnot, and I'm looking at players warming up, and when I go warm up with them and they're so close to me, I'm just like, wow. So yeah, it's just crazy how big they are, how strong they look. So
talking about Jez here, when you warm up next to him.
Huh?
I said, are you talking about Jez when you walk next to him?
Nah, not Jez. I'm talking about like the Loftus cheeks, the Lukaku's that I was seeing. Talk about big men.
Take it as a compliment. I mean, your debut as well. Did you have longer to think about it? Did you know you were going to make an appearance in that game?
Nah, we both thought that we both could possibly play. But when I got the shot and I started getting ready and whatnot, I was thinking, obviously, I normally wear low socks for matches. I was thinking, do I change up my routine? Do I pull them up? I'm like, you know what, let me just be myself. I put them back down, came out. And then as soon as I stepped out the dugout and I started looking around, my heart rate started going up a bit. So, it felt crazy. But as soon as I jumped on the pitch, you know, all the nerves and everything just went away.
I guess that's the thing, once you're playing, is that when you can just focus? It's always worse before, isn't it?
Yeah, you just zone out as soon as you get in between the lines and the goalposts, you just zone out. And then I couldn't even hear anything. I was just so focused on the game and, you know, so eager to impress.
Do you remember the game?
Yeah, I remember everything. I remember every touch I had in that game. I watched it about 30 times.
And you like what you saw?
Yeah, no, I think, like, from what I've seen, I just look comfortable, you know. I think that's important, that when youngsters play, that you don't look, you know, wrong. So you need to just look comfortable and look calm when you're playing.
What other superstitions have you got? You've got the low socks.
Sometimes I wear a band, but that's something that I do from psychology work. So if I make a mistake, you flip the band, the mistake goes away. If you do something good, you flip the band, you're back to zero as well. So it helps with my thought process and stuff like that.
Well, that's interesting. So how long have you done that for? Has it helped your game?
Yeah, I think I've done it for like 6 months. So it just makes me stay on a level page when I'm playing, so I don't get overconfident or, you know, too down.
What about you, Jez? Have you got any superstitions or anything that you have to do in your routine?
Normally, I probably just pray before games, you know. I think that really helps me calm down and really focus, that me praying and just asking God to, like, help me and through the game. So, yeah, I think that's my number one routine.
And were you equally proud when you saw Tyo make his debut? It must have been a great moment as well.
Yeah, you know, he's been talking about getting on the pitch for a long time. So, you know, when he finally got on the pitch, you know, it was fully deserved. And, you know, us as his friends and the academy are really proud. So we just want to see more of us get on the pitch and the academy doing well for the future.
Did you have family and friends that were there or were watching?
Yeah, I had a lot of family, actually. My mum, my sisters, my aunties, uncles. Yeah, a couple of people turned up for the game, so.
Couple people, that's a lot of people. What did they say afterwards? They must have been so proud.
Yeah, man, my mum was proud. My dad was proud as well, so everyone was very proud.
Did you think back, because obviously we started by saying it was such a big thing to move to London, and there are a few clubs where it didn't work out. Did you ever kind of think about that in your head when you made your debut?
It feels like, that I've, you know, proved people wrong, that I've gotten this far, but obviously there's still a long way to go, so, you know, it's just a stepping stone that's going to help me to progress.
It's nice, isn't it? Because obviously academies are such competitive places, because you're all playing to be the player that can make it in the first team. But it's nice, isn't it, that you can support each other as well. You're happy for each other to make your debuts. You want everyone else to do well.
Yeah. I think it's important that, you know, that you're not too selfish. You got to want other people to do well and, you know, clap for other people when they do well, because, you know, your time will come as well and other people will clap for you. So it works both ways.
Is it strange, because I imagine for you too, someone like T would have been a great example, because Tyreek had gone up from the academy and been playing in the first team. Is it strange for you two to think that you two are now the example that the other players look to?
Yeah, no, I think it's very strange because it all happened so quickly. It's not even like we had like time to chill over the road for a little bit. We were just 18s literally last year, and then all of a sudden now, when academy boys see us and whatnot, you know that, they're looking at us like, these boys are playing with the first team, that they want to be there. So it's a great feeling, but, you know, we've got to live up to it.
When you go back, Jez, to play with the 23s and train with the 23s, do they ask questions about first team training? Do they kind of pepper you with questions about what's going on?
I think all the boys are really happy to see me doing well, and, you know, they know that if they work hard and perform in training and matches, that they'll be there as well. So they just want to know, like, how training is, like, the different intensities and how it's different from 23. So, yeah, it's good.
Are there set targets for you next season?
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, play as many Palace games as possible. What other targets do I have? To be honest, I haven't done my targets yet because the season ain't over. So come back to me in a week with my targets.
What about you, Jez?
Same, really. I haven't really thought about it yet because the season's not over, but I'll just say that just to be better than I was this season, just to push for bigger and better things next season.
And if there was another couple of academy players coming over to train with the first team, Would you think it was kind of up to you to make them feel welcome in the same way that you were made to feel welcome? What would you do to kind of welcome them in?
Yeah, you know, I think it would be really important to like take them in, because, you know, we were just there and we are still there, but just to like really help them getting to know the players and getting to know like how training goes and the routine. So yeah, I think it'll be really good to help them out as well.
That's an exciting future. Have you played with yourselves on FIFA yet? That's a definite yes from you.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we've done, when you came to my house, we've done 90-90. So you put all the players on 90 rated. So our players would be good, not the 60 rated, but yeah, they would be good. And then we just go head to head. We play as many youngsters as possible, and then we just play.
Is that something you think you deserve now, 90 rated?
Not yet. We'll work towards it, but nah, I could see my card being a good 90 rated card.
Well, what speed you've got?
Yeah, nah, they gave me good speed already, so now I'm gotta thank EA for that, that they didn't violate my speed. So
who's the better FIFA player out of the two of you?
Just say it.
It can't be Taylor. Can't
be. Just say my name.
It can't be you, man.
Okay. I can give you evidence later if you want, but it's me anyway.
It can't be Taylor, man.
That's going to have to be settled. Well, listen, it's been great to speak to you. Good luck for the rest of the season. We'll hopefully see you on the pitch at some point. And then next season, all the more excitement to come.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Stirs, the world's first zero-waste coffee.